to cut the grass every week. I don't know about you, but that was my job. I had to cut the grass every week. Those had to be the longest 2 hours every week, I think. They just stretched on and on and on, it seemed like to me. And the idea of, let's see, having a lawn that looked nice versus getting out of work. A nice looking yard, getting out of work. This one was it all the time. No question about that. I got out of that anytime I could. I mean, why should I have to do it, right? Why didn't somebody else have to do it? Somebody should do it. Why does it have to be my job? Shouldn't the lawn just sort of take care of itself? Right? Shouldn't it just be something that just happens? I mean, after all, you know, important people don't have to do that. Does royalty ever have to think about stuff like that? Can you imagine? The Prince of England going, I got to cut the grass this afternoon. It just isn't going to happen, right? They just don't think about that. It just sort of takes care of itself. They have more important matters to work on, right? Matters of state, you know, like perfecting the wave. Got to get that down, right? Just how to get that wave down just right, right? First Peter, our scripture for today, told us in chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Royal priesthood. I like the sound of that, royal, don't you? Like that. But the priesthood thing, What does a priest do? What does a royal priest do? What is this royal priesthood thing anyway? What is that all about? We've been looking at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Take a look there with me. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. We've been looking at this for the past couple of weeks, and it tells a little bit about how we got to be royalty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. You with me? For we are not as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of... Wait, I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. Is it 1 Corinthians? Did I mess up? Write it down wrong? I'll bet I wrote it down wrong. 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, this looks no different. Where am I? Why did I... Oh, I was one chapter back. I got it now. I was thinking that's odd. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We have gotten to be royalty because we borrowed it. It's not from us. It's from Jesus. Because we are looking to Him. Because we are borrowing it from Him. We are royalty by adoption. We have become God's children. Not because we have it innately, not because we are worthy, not because we're so good, but because Jesus is, because we are looking to Him. We've borrowed it from Him. When we come to Him, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, things change. We went through a number of people in the Bible where as they met God, God changed their lives. we're never the same when we meet with Jesus. And so he is transforming us. He doesn't leave us as he found us. He's transforming us, changing us, making us new creatures in Christ day by day. Transformed, it says, into the same image from glory to glory. Can we imagine what that's about? Can we see that happening? Sometimes for us, it's a little hard to imagine. I still feel like me, the same me I was back when I could do things I can't do anymore. I still feel the same, though. It's still me. And sometimes we think about our Christian experience that way as well. That we're still the same. I feel the same as I did when I was baptized. I don't feel all that much different. And yet, day by day, the Lord is changing me, helping me to be a little bit more like him as I sometimes, yes, make mistakes. I go, man, that hurts because it hurts him. And as I see others do good things, I go, hey, I can be like that too. And so bit by bit, we grow, and you are too. God is working in your life if you're allowing him to have his way in your life. He's working in you. And so he changes us from a pauper to a prince, from glory to glory, as by his Spirit, bit by bit, to look like him. So how did Jesus act? What did Jesus do? What was the result of his royalty? If Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're being changed into his image, we want to look like him, right? And so, let's look at how Jesus acted. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You know the story. It was just before Jesus was crucified. And he was meeting with his disciples for the last time there in the upper room. Can you imagine the mix of emotions that was going on in his mind as he meets with them and he's praying to his heavenly Father saying, what should I present? What's the last message that I want to leave with them? What can I tell them is the most important thing that I can do for them? John chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God. You see the stage here? Jesus was conscious of his divinity. Jesus was conscious of his royalty. Jesus knew who he was as he prepared this Last Supper with his disciples. He knew he was the Son of the living God. Knowing that, he might have said, why am I wasting my time on these pitiful, arguing, fussing, fighting disciples? Why am I here? Why don't I just go back home? That one's going to betray me. This one over here is going to deny me. By the night, none of them will be standing with me. Why am I here? That's what he might have thought, huh? I'm sure the devil sure tried to tempt him in that direction. And yet Jesus, conscious of who he was, says in verse 4, he rose from supper. and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Wait, wait. This is the King of Glory, the royal King of Heaven, stooping down to those who would betray, deny, and forsake him, and he's washing their feet. How about you and I? How about you and I? As we go through our lives, we meet people. Sometimes even people that are sitting right here with you. People who have done things to you. People who have done things to you and you know probably will do things to you. And you're conscious of that. You know that. You know what's coming. Are you willing? To wash their feet. To do as Jesus did for you. Knowing who he was, knowing who we are, yet stoops to wash us of our sins, to wash us as we gather in a few moments for our foot washing, to wash us, to cleanse us. Jesus was willing to do that for us. How about us? Do we really want to be royal priests now? When we realize a little bit more of what it means. You see, our privilege is great. Our privilege is great. And sometimes what we want is the royalty. Yes, I don't have to think about the law and ever again. And yet what the real royal priesthood is all about, the most important message, the last message that Jesus could give, was a message of service one to another, a message of love one to another, even in the face of knowing that the other person is not worthy. You following? After that, verse 5 says, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. That's how Jesus does. That's how he works. He was conscious of his royalty and yet was willing to serve. Verse 12, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Well, Lord, you know. Yeah, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be embarrassing to have the master wash your feet? I don't think they comprehended how far he was willing to go for them. How far are we willing to go for one another? Do you know what I have done to you? So how should we act? If we're royal priests by adoption, how should we act? Let's take a look. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, verse 14, your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to ignore one another. If somebody does something you don't like. If somebody's mean to you, you should ignore them, right? Because you don't want... That's right. That's how we do it, isn't it? Because we don't want to cause a scene, so we'll just ignore it. I have someone over here to serve. What? If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, Jesus said. You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. He's pretty pointed there, isn't he? Not only does he say you should do it, he's saying, this is the example, this is how to do it. Yes, it is quite clear. And if we had gobs of time, we could go through how this is a spiritual cleansing as well. That Jesus didn't want to just cleanse their feet and the dirt from their dusty feet, but he wanted to reach into their hearts. He wanted a relationship with them, that golden thread between heaven and earth. He wanted to make that strong. He wanted to wash away everything else that might stand between him and them. Yes, that's true. But this was not just a spiritual thing. Jesus said in verse 15, "For I have given you an example. This is what you should do." Brothers and sisters, if Jesus gives me an example, I want to do what he says, don't you? Absolutely. If that's what he says, I'm doing it. You should do it. Here's the example. Seems pretty clear to me, doesn't it to you? That we should do as he has done. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Note that it's to you. That is to say, Jesus was reaching out to them when they didn't deserve it. They come in jockeying for position. I'm next to Christ. No, no, it's me. I'm the one in the kingdom. Yeah, can you see royal priests doing this? What? Jesus reached out to them. And it is up to those of us who recognize that someone else is at fault and they've been wrong and they should come to me and all of these things, we're tempted to think, no. That isn't the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus' example is that when someone has wronged you, you reach out to them. That was what Jesus did. And that's what our foot washing gives us an opportunity to do, to reach out, to touch a life. And it's not where Jesus said, I'm better than you. He was saying, I love you. I love you so much. I'm willing to reach to you. I'm willing to give my life for you. I'm willing to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus was willing to reach out to do for you and I. And so we are not greater than our Lord. We should not think ourselves above service to others. If our Lord and Master has done this, cannot the servants do the same? And then verse 17, Jesus promises a blessing. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So he did it. He said it was an example to us. He said we should do it. And he gives us a blessing if we do it. Wow. How can you go wrong with that set, right? God has given us everything, all the blessings there, so that we can participate with him.